You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, building stronger and better lives. And again, I am so very excited this morning to have a very special guest, but also our co-host this morning with us, talking about Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And this morning, we're talking about specialized knowledge and how to use it with your organized planning. Our guest this morning is Sharice Godchild, and our host and co-host this morning, Ms. Thomasina Williams, is going to start the show off, but Sharon Jackson and myself, Ann McNeil, we will be participating in our Master Builder conversation, if you will. So with that, I'd like to introduce you to the strategic thought partner, Ms. Thomasina Williams, and our other co-host, the retired land use consultant, Ms. Sharon Jackson, as we prepare to hear from Sharice. Good morning, Thomasina.
Good morning. Good morning, Anne. Good morning to you. Good morning to our guest, Ms. Sharice Godchild, and to my fellow co-host, Sharon Jackson, and our listening audience.
Good morning. Good morning.
This morning, as Anne said, our special guest is Sharice Godchild, author of Secrets Millionaires Want to Know, Surprising Multi-Million Dollar Businesses and Strategies of America's Wealthy. Good morning, Sharice, and thank you for joining us this morning as our special guest.
Good morning, Thomasina. Thank you. And might I correct you, it's the title of the book is Secrets Millionaires Want You to Know.
Oh, I apologize.
Yes.
Thank you for correcting
me. No problem.
And it is correctly stated on our description for the show, and there's actually a link to the book so that anyone who wants to check the book out can simply go online to our Blog Talk Radio site and click on the link, and it will take you directly to Secrets Millionaires Want You to Know, Multi-Million Dollar Businesses and Strategies of America's Wealthy.
Yes,
so
beautiful. Yes.
How did
Yes, go ahead, Thomasina.
You wanted to share something before I ask the first question?
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to have a discussion with you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you sharing with our listening audience. We'd like to start the show off by just having you tell us a little bit about your story.
Okay. Well, I hail from the island of Kingston, Jamaica, and I grew up in Chicago. I was raised by a single mom who was extraordinary. She really pushed education, and I did very well in school. I was voted Who's Who, National Honor Society. I graduated salutatorian. I went to Northwestern, University of Chicago. And I had many experiences at corporations and not-for-profits. However, fast forward to a few years ago, I was going through a nasty divorce, and I ended up in a homeless shelter. And my children and I were there for almost a year. But fortunately for me, it took me and my children hitting rock bottom to discover a very, very powerful book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And that book was the turning point and the nexus of me beginning to write my book, Secrets Millionaires Want You to Know.
And can you tell us, Charisse, do you recall how you came across the book, if you were living in a shelter with two young children?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask. I was reflecting on that recently, and I realized that there were sessions. We had organized sessions, daily sessions, where we had to go into a computer room and use the computer for job search and for research. And sometimes after that, you had some free time on the computer. And I decided to look up books, and I happened to come across on the computer this book called Think and Grow Rich. Now, this book has been around me for many years. My mother had a copy of it, but I was not ready to receive it when I was younger. And it took me and my children forced into a homeless shelter for me to actually focus on the book. And that was, it was an unfortunate circumstance, but it was a fortunate situation where I was forced into having to zero in on the book. And I'm so happy that I did, even though it took being in a homeless shelter to have me realize the full potential of the book, or the value of the book. And that's how it happened, in those organized sessions, those daily sessions where I was forced to follow the regimen of the shelter, that I discovered the book.
Interesting. You know, your story also has a powerful subline, I think, about how many women and children can end up in poverty, devastated by divorce, and why it is so very important for women to work on developing their own consciousness, because where go the women, there go the children.
Yes,
and
the family
by the grace,
falls apart, yes.
Right. By the grace of God, though, you ended in a shelter. It's interesting now, when you were on the computer at the shelter, were you looking specifically for Think and Grow Rich? Given that your mother had a copy of the book, was there something that you consciously were aware of, or do you think that was sort of a
subconsciously
thing?
Yes, it was subconscious, because I was familiar with the title many years prior. Maybe it was there. It was, the seed was waiting dormant in my subconscious, and it took an impactful event to make it to start to grow. And it grew, and when it grew, it grew phenomenally. So, and I want to address something you said about women and children in poverty situation that were thrown into crisis because of divorce or other unfortunate events. And something I learned recently at this economic forum we were at the Urban League, by Dr. Lance McCarthy's talk, he said that we need to move from entitlement to empowerment. And I feel that we can prevent poverty if we can, if we're in a state of empowerment. And a lot of Americans, there are 40 million plus Americans who are poor, and 70 plus million Americans who are dissatisfied with their jobs. So there's a lot of dissatisfaction in the global consciousness, the American consciousness. And it's because for the lack of knowledge, people do perish. The lack of empowerment, people perish. The lack of resources, and not just resources, but the knowledge to empower themselves to create wealth, causes them to fall into a ditch. And my book will help people to stay alive, to survive, to flourish. That was a switch for me. It was a switch, a spiritual shift, a mental shift, a psychological shift, from, even though I wasn't in a homeless shelter anymore, and I wasn't quite where I needed to be, just that knowledge that Napoleon Hill's book gave me helped me to shift myself from being homeless in my mind to being able to create wealth which is, it's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary indeed. You raise an interesting point, though, about how people don't have the knowledge. But another
yes.
subtext of what I hear from your story is we can have the knowledge, but we also have the consciousness to be receptive to that knowledge and know what to do with it. Because you said
yes.
that your mother had the book. So if your mother had the book and you were familiar with the book growing up, one would think that the knowledge in and of itself would have prevented you from falling into the circumstances in which you found yourself. So what I hear from your story is that, you know, that parable which says that the teacher will appear when
the
is ready.
Student is ready. Yes, and that's something Napoleon Hill talks about in his book. You cannot become wealthy until you're ready to receive the knowledge. And like many people, we're stubborn. I've been stubborn and just not receptive and open and pliant to receive the information that can better me. And that comes from something that I have been fighting for, I used to fight with, and that is my self-esteem. Because so many things, so many arrows just flew at my self-esteem as I was from I was a three-year-old child until I was a grown adult. I had to deal with a lot of snares and foils. And once I started loving myself, once I decided to love myself, then I became receptive to the information. When I started believing that I deserved to be rich. And then the other flip side of that, yes, now I deserve to be rich, but as Andrew Carnegie said, you cannot become rich without enriching others. So decision to become wealthy, that you deserve to be wealthy, and then you have to find ways to enrich others so that you can manifest that wealth.
Exactly. Which are all part of the success formula, the steps that Napoleon Hill outlines in the book. And I know that our master builder, Ann McNeil, is a huge proponent of the self-confidence formula, having that belief in ourselves. And Ann has suggested that everybody in the Think and Grow Rich community in her sphere actually commits to memory the self-confidence formula that is a part of step two, the chapter on faith, and how very, very important it is that we have belief in ourselves. Virtually every chapter talks something about our belief in ourselves, our ability to actually transform our consciousness by controlling through auto-suggestion, for example, the thoughts that we hold in mind, which really help to build our self-esteem, to let us know from the inside that we can do that which we set our minds to, and that the resources that we need are all around us. We simply need to open our eyes and that they are there. Powerful, powerful testimony.
Yes.
Is there one particular thing that stood out for you when you read Think and Grow Rich? A lot of people will say, oh, that chapter on specialized knowledge or the chapter on faith. And I'm wondering whether you have a favorite part of the book that you perhaps go back to periodically and reread.
Well, funny you should say that. Chapter 7, Organized Planning, is a very powerful chapter. It talks about aligning yourself with masterminds, and then also that you have to be continuous and persistent in your planning. And what I normally do is I define each word and of anything I'm studying. And if you define organized, the synonym would be structured.
Use the principles in the organized planning chapter to really help to inspire you and motivate you to get out of that homeless shelter and transform yourself to now being a published author once we come back from our commercial break.
Okay.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning, and welcome back to the show. My name is Thomasina Williams. Co-hosts this morning are Master Builder Ann McNeil and Sharon Jackson. And our special guest this morning is Charisse Godchild, author of Secrets Millionaires Want You to Know. If you'll go to our website on Blog Talk Radio, you'll find a direct link there to a copy of the book, Secrets Millionaires Want to Know. Before the commercial break, Charisse, we were talking about how organized planning is one of the chapters in the book, one of the steps in the success formula that had strong resonance for you. Can you share with our listening audience how you used that particular chapter to basically get you out of the circumstances that landed you in the homeless shelter and propel you to becoming now a published author?
Yes, Thomasina. So as I was saying, organized planning, so organized being structured and planning meaning a design, a system. And what I realized that you have to, on your journey, you have to recognize your personality. And my personality is that I'm a little bit of a renegade. I'm a rebel in the sense that I don't like structure. And it's funny that in rejecting structure, I actually do create structure, and it's fluid. It may not have very sturdy walls, but it's fluid, but it's movable, it's mobile, it's changing, it's transformational, but yet still it's getting, you know, it's efficient, it's getting the job done. And what I realized that being in the homeless shelter, I didn't understand the true value of the book until I had to end up in the homeless shelter and I was able to focus on it. And I did not follow all the steps of Napoleon Hill because we're not perfect. No one is perfect. My personality is not a very, you know, step-by-step. I kind of do step one and then I jump to step 13. But somehow in a circuitous way, I do end up with an end result, with an end product. And the thing I skipped, the step I skipped was getting other masterminds to help me on my path. Because what I did, I had to cut out a lot of negative people and negative energy out of my life to create the space I needed to write this book. And it took about 7 months to, well, actually 5 months to kind of heal from all of the negativity that had been surrounding me for decades, for many years, and to actually have the clarity, put some sort of process into place, some sort of organized planning into place where I could receive the knowledge I needed to start writing the book. I needed a quiet space, in which I created by removing the undue influences on my life. And then I set about taking the information I discovered and I adapted it to the parameters of Amazon and Kindle. And I customized it to fit into their requirements. And so while I did not have a mastermind group around me, in the marketing and the selling of the book, I need that mastermind. I cannot achieve what I need to achieve on my own. So in a sense, the planning, the organization was adhering to the requirements of Amazon, and that was my structure. But there may be times where I stayed up until 5:30 in the morning to write the book, and there may be times when I didn't. So I wasn't really consistent, but I was persistent in that if I skipped a day, I made it up the next day.
Great, great. So I hear you saying that you didn't follow the formula, but as I hear your story unfold, it sounds to me like you did follow the formula. And I think what's important is for us to do what fits for us. So, for example, your point about getting rid of the negative influences in your life.
Yes.
Step three in the formula talks about auto-suggestion and how our subconscious mind receives whatever we pour into it, be that negative or positive. And by removing those negative influences, you really were, I think, implementing step three on auto-suggestion by ensuring that only positive forces were entering your subconscious mind.
Exactly.
And then talking about
exactly.
your persistence, being up to 5:30 in the morning, having two young children, doing what you needed to do during the day and staying up all night to get it done,
exactly.
that is persistence. That's another important
yes.
step, step eight in the formula. So you were working the formula. You were just working it the Cerise Godchild way.
Yes, exactly. My customized approach. And
yes.
I definitely stayed committed to bringing the book to fruition, and I needed to eliminate a lot of negativity from my life because I wasn't able to think. I had been bombarded with people stealing my birthright. My grandmother and my grandfather, when they died, I didn't get their estate, my portion of their estate. It was just a whole host of just unbelievably just one right after the other sequence of events that kept coming at me and my children, and I had to stop it. I had to say no more, enough is enough. And when you decide that enough is enough, then you will see true, concrete, measurable, meaningful change. And that's what happened with me.
Great, great. Thank you so much for sharing your powerful story with us, Cerise. I'm now going to turn the mic over to our master builder, Ms. Ann McNeil.
Thank you, Thomasina.
Thank you.
All right, Cerise, I am so excited in hearing your journey. And my question really is focusing on other books that you may have read that might be inspiring, encouraging, supportive to our listeners that you might want to recommend. So can you give us maybe one or two books that you've read that you'd like to share in addition to the Think and Grow Rich book, in addition to your book?
Okay, and thank you for that question. The thing is, I'll be very honest with you, not a lot of books that I've read are worthy of a recommendation, and I'll tell you why. The reason being is that I may have said earlier, I am a victim, and I'm sure there are many Americans that are victims too, of circuitous and superfluous fluff in their books. They're not writing concrete, practical things that can be implemented in real life, and I'm frustrated with that. I'm frustrated with a lot of the materials I've read, and Think and Grow Rich has been one of the paramount books, the single most paramount books I've ever read, and it overshadows every other book essentially I've read. And but I do have some key nuggets that may be of benefit to others, and one, there's a great prophet. His name was Maimonides, and he espoused eight levels of charity. And the highest level of charity that Maimonides proposed was where one strengthens a person's hand to the point where they're no longer dependent on others. And I am a huge proponent of that, of helping people to be so strong that they're no longer dependent on others. And the other person, of course, that his books I may recommend is Andrew Carnegie, because he is another big pillar and foundation of my book, which is that you cannot become rich without enriching others. So those two key principles of charity, helping others to be as strong as they can be, and also enriching them, giving them something of value in exchange, are the two key points of my book and the impetus for my book.
Thank you so very much. That's very encouraging. I thought of one of my favorite authors by the name of Julia Cameron. One of the things that she says in her book, The Art's Way, she encourages you to stop reading other people's writing and allow whatever God has placed inside of you to come out by writing. So thank you so much for that. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. And charity and service is really the rent we pay for the space we occupy, it is said.
Absolutely.
What I'd like to do now, Thomasina, is turn the show over to Sharon Jackson, who I know does also have a question. This is an awesome show. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Now, while Sharon is coming off of mute, wanted to find out also, do you have another book you're considering writing and sharing?
Yes, and I do have five other books that I will be writing. I will be profiling 250 more multimillionaires because I initially just did 50, and I've garnered so much information and knowledge just from studying 50 millionaires that I cannot imagine what I will get from studying 250 more. And then also, later this month, I'll be launching a national initiative on financial empowerment. And I just want you all to stay tuned for that, for more details. But I'm going to add to the narrative, and not just the narrative, but the actual practice of building a Black economic base, because someone I tried to sell my book to said, oh, I don't want to buy your book because there's a Black economic base does not exist. And I thought that was kind of lopsided thinking. But even though I don't agree with the reasoning behind his rejection of my book, he did bring up a very good point. That's a problem in our society today, that Blacks do not have a strong economic base. And instead of me talking about it, I'm going to do something about it. So please stay tuned for that.
Thank you, Cherise. This is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
That was very good. That was an excellent point, which unfortunately that brings up three questions that I have. And I know we're getting ready to go to another commercial break. But this is the thing that I am interested in knowing about. Your mother obviously created a good base for you. And what a good base for you to come through the trials. What I'm interested in and listening to is to what you did to create a base for your children. Do you understand what I'm saying? So how did you handle that?
Okay.
So that while they are going through with you, they don't absorb all the issues that others that are happening around them.
Yes. Well, that has been a tightrope. A juggle, a balancing act. But one major thing that has helped us through all of this, and I have to give him praise.
Hello?
In spite of every single challenge, we rely on him, and he has seen us through each and every one of them. So my children, they're warriors. They're spiritual warriors. They're 10 and 7, but they're my little army. And they have a very strong belief in God, and they practice that. They pray. They believe. They understand that he's there in spite of everything. And the other thing that I make sure I do, because we have been through a tumultuous time, is have a routine for them. They have a routine. Wherever we are, we stick to a routine.
Very good. Very good. So, you know, the other point that I wanted to make is that I have heard you talk and touch on the idea of when you came to yourself. When they gave you the opportunity in the shelter to go to the computer, to do this, to do that, they were telling you to do that to look for a job. And you read the book, you did some other things, but you came to yourself and you said, but I'm not looking for a job. I'm looking for the opportunity. But there's always a moment that you come to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I heard you talk about mm-hmm. the spirituality. I heard you kind of dance around the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone talks about the moment. And I think that your moment will be particularly thrilling. Could you please talk to us about that?
Well, you know, that's a great question. Just to know how I came to myself. And I believe that in that is coming to the realization that no one can truly become rich without having their own. They have to have their own. And there's a big push in society for since the age of industrialization that you go to school to go to college and to graduate from college and get a job. And that's just not me. I have entrepreneurism in my DNA. And yes, people were looking for jobs, but I was not satisfied. That would not satisfy me. That hasn't satisfied me. I've had several jobs with a Fortune 300 company, with hospitals, doctors, lawyers, you name it. I've done it pretty much. And I was just not satisfied with just the mediocrity of having a job. I wanted to take the cream off the top. And yes, people were looking for jobs in that situation. They were forcing me to look for a job, but there was that seed growing in there that had been there for many years, and that was the time for it to come out. It would not come out in any other circumstance because I had too much chatter going around me, too much distraction. And in a funny way, and God, that's how God works. He works in mysterious ways. He's like, okay, I've been sending you messages for all these decades and refuse to listen. And now I'm forcing you. I'm tying your hands behind your back. I'm taking away the keys to your car. I'm putting you under someone else's rule and order, and you're going to learn. You're going to learn what you need to learn to change your life. And that's what happens.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Cherise,
you're welcome.
So this has been an awesome show. Thank you very much, Cherise. I want to turn
you're
it
welcome.
Back over to... We look forward to having you back to talk about those other 5 books that you're working on, as well as to hearing about how you're working to build a Black economic empowerment base. I'll turn the
exactly.
show back over now to our master builder, Ms. Anne McNeil.
Thank you so much, Thomasina. Again, what a guest today. If you really want to learn how to earn from regardless of whatever position or state in life you're at, this is the show. and Cherise is the person to help you learn how to do that. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show with a commercial, but we want to ask all of our listeners and callers and guests that listen to the show after this show is over and downloads, please remember every single Saturday at 8 a.m., join us as we think and grow rich and walk through the book by Napoleon Hill, talking about the principles of success. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder. Thank you so much, Sharon Jackson. Thank you to our guest, Cherise, and thank you, Thomasina Williams. So with that, we're going to wrap
so
up
much.
The show, and we'll see everybody next Saturday, same time, same place.
Okay. God bless everyone.
Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.